the president's responses to the events that are happening around us. It's very dangerous.
I want to thank you, Matt Gaetz, for being with us. Now, Tucker Carlson says he's gone trout fishing. Matt Gaetz is senior fellow at Media Matters. We'll link to your latest piece, Tucker Carlson Has Said Enough. I'm Amy Goodman with Juan Gonzalez. Thanks so much for joining us. Stay safe.
Okay, is something going to work, right, Carl?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. We don't have a chance to test these things beforehand.
I didn't realize, give
me another level, and we'll see if we can make it somewhat human.
I didn't realize it was so loud.
Yeah, well, I couldn't realize it was so loud until you said something.
Could you actually turn those down a little? They're really close to my ear.
Those being earphones? Headphones?
Yeah, they're really close to my head.
See, that's the problem. I'll turn it down. But
no.
See, I like it hot. You like it low. And now, okay, I've sacrificed my comforts for your ears. Fine. You know, what we should have different headphone volumes for different people.
Okay, yeah, well, when the capital improvements budget is passed, I'll go ahead and I'll run your request by the committee.
Would you do that?
You know, running a TV station, running a radio station, these are not normal things
running
to be doing.
Running a TV station, do tell.
Oh, yeah, we're testing a lot of the video capabilities because there's this event coming up in about 200 hours. It's called the Hope Conference.
Oh, God.
And it's exciting, but it's also terrifying to be hurtling into said future where people have expectations and gather in large numbers and want to be informed. It's a lot of weight on your shoulders. You want to provide. So starting over the weekend, we have been testing some of that.
Fortunately, there's a lot of shoulders, and the team that has come together is phenomenal. Compared to what we do in the real world when we have conferences, the virtual conference that we're having, and even more people are involved, and it's just so incredible. We have talks coming from all corners of the earth, pretty much all corners, a lot of corners. There are some corners I'd like to see more from, but yeah, we're going to have talks from Asia, we're going to have talks from South America. It's really going to be amazing. Some of them live, some of them recorded. And just this sense of participation. If you want more info, go to www.hope.net. And I think if you go to Channel 2600 on our YouTube channel,
under the videos section, there should be a live stream.
But what else do you have on YouTube? It's all videos.
We have archive videos, and I think the live, right now it's being pinned to the video section. I don't know why. I think it's because our playlist is archived like a library, so you can go through chronologically and everything's there. But for a live stream, it gets placed in other places. This is the stuff we're trying to figure out.
I want it to be front and center like everybody else.
We want all kinds of things. I want a big ice cream cake in the shape of a pony with a unicorn on top.
I know you can get that, but this, if anyone knows how to use YouTube properly, let us know. OTW at 2600.com.
Yes, please mansplain how we're YouTubing wrong.
or just text Blaine, you know, because we're busy. We don't have time to figure out all these commercial products and how to work them. I just got this annoying message on Twitter giving me this choice of having targeted ads or less relevant ads. That was my choice. And they said, you're in control. That was the headline. You're in control. You can choose either targeted ads or less relevant ads. Which do you want? I want no ads. Twitter, come on, for God's sake. That's what's happening. They shove it down your throats. It's really, really annoying.
Yeah, they have to pay us. Stop taking the ad money. Stop giving us these false choices. Neither is good to use your platform. And in fact, I think there was some discussion about subscription models and all that, but expect this is the kind of discussion Hope will be about this year.
Yeah, we have like something like 125, 130 talks.
You have a better sense than I do. I'm just astounded by what I've heard as you've
it's all
been tabulating things.
It's all turning into a blur at this point.
Well, you're a huge part of making it what it is, along with all the other people on the speaker committee. So it's just an outstanding effort.
The speaker committee is only one committee. There's a workshop committee. There's all kinds of activities. There are performances, concerts. Oh my God! And of course the infrastructure, just getting it all out there in the first place. Internet Society, what they're doing for us is incredible. And it's going to go on for 9 days. Usually our conferences are 3 days, but we figured, you know, since we can't do it in person, let's make it better. Let's triple it. And I think people want that. They want more. So we're giving them more. And we'll see what happens to us as a result. Oh, happy Bastard Day. It's a day where I understand bastards of all sorts are honored. Is that right? And, who better to direct that at?
I don't know what you're talking about.
It was on the calendar.
It was?
July 14th.
No, no kidding.
Yeah.
Okay. You want to elaborate?
No, that's all. I just saw the calendar, Kyle. I just walked in here quickly to make sure it was a Tuesday.
And it's called Bastards Day?
Fine. You want me to walk back over to the calendar and
no.
double check it? I will.
You can explain it, though.
Well, go on.
Go on with what? Talking? Don't really care to elaborate on nothing on my own. And it's my favorite part of the show.
I randomly went,
the mic to me.
I went back there. And, yeah, radio, you have to always be prepared for this. But, yeah, I'm sorry, Bastille Day. Okay, it was my mistake. It was quick. Bastille Day. Happy Bastille Day, Bastille.
I don't even know what that is. I think it's French, though.
It's very French. It's about as French as you can get. Speaking of bastards, though, this guy, this groundhog, okay, we were talking about this last week.
That's just another layer of trauma.
No, this is the level of trauma, okay? I want to get this out.
All right. Start at the start, though.
Look, don't get me wrong. I'm in favor of nature. I'm sorry. I enjoy talking like a Trump person. Don't get me wrong. I'm in favor of nature, right?
But,
these groundhogs are bastards. I mean, what is their point? What do they do? Well, I'll tell you what they did to us. What one groundhog did. There's only one groundhog. Last week we reported that he had raided the sun chokes. So what we did was we followed the advice of many of our listeners, and we spread Epsom salts for some reason. That's something that groundhogs stay away from.
Yeah, I think it's seasoning.
And we reinforced the fence. We put another layer of the fence. And the next day, that bastard came back and didn't care about the Epsom salts and chewed through two layers of fences and devastated our plants. Devastated them. And the thing that gets me is that these are plants that groundhogs don't even like. He was just doing it for spite. There are plants everywhere outside the fence. Didn't touch those. Things that are very tasty. But he decided he had to go and get the thing that we were the most proud of and that we were very much, you know, working on. He saw us doing that. And
I'm curious if neem oil, because I was already worried about the leaf hoppers, which we reported on.
Leaf hoppers are nothing to
They're nothing compared to this. I had used neem oil because that's non-toxic and on food like a root vegetable or something, you know, you don't want necessarily to be eating a whole bunch of toxic stuff. So I was looking for ways to do that. I think it's like a mild soap and neem oil. I'm just wondering, is that mix distaste something that the leafhoppers don't like, they detest, or but at the same time something that groundhogs smell and love, like it's salad dressing to them or something? Because this groundhog seemed really, really passionate about this particular garden. So then
no, he's just being a jerk. He knows how much it means to us. He's just trying to destroy the one thing that we like.
Actually, yeah, I think
he's not touching anything else.
No, that's
he's not touching.
Much it.
He goes right to that, and he knows what a fence is. He chewed through. Okay, so what we did was that was a deer fence. We thought deer were the problem. He put up a deer fence. The deer were just sort of standing around saying, yeah, so what do you think of us now?
It's discrimination, really.
They're not at all interested in these plants. So you had to go all over the county to find the right kind of fence?
Oh, yeah. So then there's this background thing of the supply chain not existing during a pandemic. Yeah, where's the PPE? Where's the mask? Where is everything? There's nothing.
That I understand, but why are fences in short supply?
Everybody's doing stuff at home. Everybody's working on their gardens. And a lot of these hardware stores and stuff are not fulfilling or, and this is, I think, a compounding factor, everyone else is dealing with pests as well because this is the season when groundhogs appear and pests start coming out. Whatever that is, I called every single place I could think of, like every home improvement place, small and large, and had to basically go around and find one that specifically had it so that I could bring that back.
You're lucky I have a regional calling plan with New York Telephone because those calls would have cost a lot of money. Yeah.
Well, and it was a real search. And it felt like looking for PPE, but in this case it was, I think it's called like turkey wire, or like just basically chicken wire.
Turkey wire? The turkeys, I don't have any trouble with the turkeys. We get along.
I don't know. They did come for some plants I did a couple years ago.
And can turkeys fly? I know they don't fly out of airplanes. Okay, I watched WKRP. I know that. But they can fly over a fence, so I don't know how a fence is going to keep a turkey out.
Yeah, I think that it's really just what you would do if you had turkeys you wanted to keep cooped up, like in your yard. You would use a particular wire so that you could cage them and, I don't know, get turkey eggs or have them...
Turkey eggs? I've never had a turkey egg. What are those like?
You want them to stick around, because if...
Huh.
Yeah, anyway. So just like keeping a chicken coop, you would use wire. So anyway, you had to, like, do another layer of that around this area where there had been a deer fence. So there's now, like, three layers.
But there still is a deer fence, right?
It occurred to me to maybe do it on the inside of the deer fence, but it would just have been a way to trap a groundhog between fences.
That's what I was worried about. I was
worried. You wanted the turret to be first.
Yeah. I was worried that he would somehow find his way in there. Because, you know, groundhogs, they can dig, too.
Yeah, she hasn't even shown us what her digging skills are like.
I'm sorry, but no. I think this is male testosterone we're dealing with right here. This guy is trying to prove a point for no reason whatsoever just because he can.
It's like aggressive stuff? Okay. All right. No, there is a little bit of like alpha groundhog stuff.
Picture
going on.
Trump supporter and groundhog in one. That's what we have.
Wow. Yeah. What if he has, I think he
Give
had
him a damn red hat.
A little red hat.
Yeah. So my worry was that he would somehow get into there and then be trapped inside. And then we'd have a groundhog just eating whatever is left. And then we'd have to figure out how to get him out of there.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, we've monitored it. I've got the thermal cameras and the laser fence ready.
I hired a security guard for 2 days.
I know.
Boy, that's expensive, and it's not worth it.
It's true. I mean, they just, it's a whole thing. They have breaks. What do you do when they're on a break? It's just, you know, I might hire two people that have shifts. It's crazy.
Yeah.
So it's a kind of a wait-and-see thing, but I have a positive thing to report. I've been going out periodically, because it's been warm again and, watering things, that need it, like the Sunchoke project. So what I've, noticed is that groundhogs don't really rip out the plant, they just leave it. And plants are kind of amazing in their ability to deal with trauma and stress. I think what it's really called is stress in the plant world. And it's really beautiful to see how they kind of cope. And what is going on now, a lot of them are still bent over and missing leaves and stuff. But they have little buds and little branches coming off where there will be more flowers. And what I think this is called, when you top a plant like that, it's sort of a super cropping, a way to double the...
Super cropping? Wow.
Yeah. I mean, it's used a lot in the cannabis world to keep things short and bushy. Well, what it does is it doubles the nodes that come off the plant. And the same thing's happening with the sunchokes. You're seeing these branches come off mm-hmm. at the last node where the groundhog... Because the groundhog was bending over the sunchoke branch, chewing the top, and then I guess would let go and move on. So you'd be left with this tall stem mm-hmm. after he, like, you know, got all the leaves. But now we have all these tiny little leaves coming out and new nodes. So what I'm thinking is this batch may actually be a sort of bushier... super cropped sort of batch of sunchokes. At least that's the hope. Mm-hmm. We didn't go in there out of frustration, like yank everything up and give up and, you know, kick the watering can halfway down.
I felt like burning the entire neighborhood to the ground.
It stinks, but I've had this happen before, and that is the one thing I was counting on. So we took some plant food, gave them a little fertilizer, gave them a little water.
It reminded me of when you broke your hand up in Ontario, and we watched as your hand grew all different bones and really became kind of crazy.
Yeah, you see this?
Now you have...
I didn't have that vein before.
18 fingers.
No, that vein didn't exist.
No.
That's specifically... I constructed that custom for the calf.
Throbbing one, yeah. Mm-hmm. That's something.
Rivals the one in my face right now.
nature is something else. But I'll tell you, the whole neighborhood knows about this groundhog, this particular groundhog. They know him. And he's been causing all kinds of problems. And one person even told me that birds are attacking this groundhog. So he's even making enemies in the animal kingdom. He hasn't come around in the last few days, so I don't know. Maybe somebody got to him. He pissed off the wrong bird.
Or dog.
Or, yeah, I mean...
We do have dogs in the area.
Like I said, he's a bastard. And... we should have wolves in the area, that's what I think.
I'm ready.
No, you unleash some wolves, that solves a lot of problems. Or
yep.
Coyotes, even?
Yep.
Not sure how they get along with each other, but that, you know, then you have deer being dealt with in other ways.
I think fox, too, and I know there's fox on the island, so we're hopeful that some other predators are going to be in the mix, because this creature was just far too comfortable.
Speaking of predators, reminds me of an unfortunate name for a sports team, which also reminds me of a different unfortunate name for a sports team, the Washington Redskins.
Mm-hmm.
Now, here's what I don't get. There's this. We knew a week, 2 weeks ago that they were going to change their name, and the drum roll was for yesterday, and all they did yesterday was announce they were going to change their name. I thought yesterday they were going to announce the name. So they had all this publicity for an event coming up that was simply confirming what they had already told us in the past.
It's fake hoopla.
That is PR. That mm-hmm. is good PR that you can get people to pay attention to that.
Yeah.
Because they absolutely said nothing.
What if the name's worse?
How could the name be worse? How could it be worse? I mean,
that's
I can think of, no, I can think of ways it could be worse. But I'm looking at this story from Fox News. And, of course, Fox News is all injured sniff about this whole thing.
Oh, the victim?
Former Washington players speak out on name change. I'll always call them the Washington Redskins. Yeah, you feel for them. You know, what bugs me about this is how seriously we are taking this. I mean, the name is horrible, and yes, that should be taken seriously, but the trauma of changing the name? Give me a break. You know, the Houston Oilers, I did a little bit of research on this, as much as I know about football. Houston Oilers moved to Tennessee, and they were the Tennessee Oilers until people realized that doesn't make any sense. And they said, why don't we change our name? And they changed the name to the Tennessee Titans. And you know what? There was no trauma. People didn't fall apart. And the best part is, they always remembered the Houston Oilers. Yeah, that history was not wiped away. So, yeah, you know, you'll remember the racist names of the past and the racist people of the past. But maybe you just don't keep honoring them in the present. Wouldn't that be nice?
Yeah, I mean, I'm still coping with the loss of the Supersonics.
Well, they moved, what did they become the Minnesota Timberwolves?
I think it was Kansas. Why do I know Kansas that? City or something?
Kansas. No, they had a team.
No.
I don't know where they were. They went somewhere.
Yeah, somewhere like mid-south.
How does Seattle lose a basketball team?
They're good at losing stuff.
But yet you steal a hockey team from Quebec. You know, that's something I will not forgive you for.
Don't look at me like that. No. That's not, no, you, I didn't have anything
Canada,
to do with that.
Canada should have all the hockey teams, okay? Because they play hockey up there. Every kid plays hockey. They were playing hockey on the damn train we took up there. So, and, you know, real hockey and also video hockey at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Kid running down the aisle with a hockey stick and a console. So, I don't know.
That's how you get good.
That is how you get good. And they are good. They are very good. So, yeah, there's other teams, too, that have problematic names, like Cleveland Indians, Atlanta Braves. I mean, this isn't over. And it's not revisionist history, it's updating history. Because we were racist in the past, okay, we remember that, and now we're going to do something better for the future. So, let's, you know...
It's not a debate. That's the fallacy of it. That we're running up against conversations where somehow we need to include all perspectives in the discussion. It's this twisted free speech thing.
Isn't that what they always accuse
us
of doing?
These are not debate.
Trying to involve everybody and be super inclusive? No.
Yeah. Now this is the conservative trope.
So racists want to do that too. They want to. What does the Confederacy have to say about this?
It's their thing.
You know, they
no.
had their say in the 1800s. We're done. Let's
yeah,
move on.
They're losers. They still are.
Okay, so I guess we'll find out what their name is before the next season begins, whenever that is, because nobody knows what's going on with anything.
Well, there's so much they could do just with D.C., right? Wait, Washington Redskins? So it's
not your Washington. It's
no, no, it's yeah. it's the same place that have the Nationals, right, who just won last year.
That wasn't just. That was a year ago, yeah.
Right, but they're the latest to have one.
Right, and that's a nice, non-offensive name.
Right, and it's very bland.
Could be nationalist. That would be offensive.
Oh, but appropriate for the times.
Right.
But there's a lot with federal history they could do and with reverence, with sort of a nod, with respect to damage or to... the evolution culturally and politically in our country.
You have anything in mind?
I don't know. I'm trying to think of it.
I'm thinking Federalist, which is a weird name for a team. Well, what else did that? They had witch burnings. You can't really bring that into a team name. There were some good things that were happening back in the 1700s. Muskets. They were carrying a lot of muskets.
Washington Cavalry.
Cavalry?
Although they were on both sides, I guess. There was cavalry all around.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, but that, you might be able to argue, is just a type of fighter, not one or the other in the Civil War or any other war, for that matter. You could just say someone on horseback.
True, but, you know, the show before us, Democracy Now!, was talking about using the name warrior, and that could be used... as an anti-Native American slur as
yeah,
well.
Actually, cavalry is exactly the type of people that abused Native Americans, so and indigenous people all over.
Right.
You know, military well,
you,
might.
You think of a name for your kid. You spend some time. You make sure you don't name him Adolf or something like that.
Yeah.
Spend the same amount of time on your team and name them something good. Long Island Ducks.
Yeah.
I'm very proud of that name. That's a great name. I don't know what sport they play. I think it's baseball. It used to be hockey. They're trying out, they're going to figure out what sport they're best at. But the Long Island Ducks, that's a great name. Nobody can get offended by that.
And we just ruled out one that would probably be offensive in, like, less than a minute. It does not take a lot of effort
if
to
you
just
want,
think it through.
Sports World, we are volunteering our time to be the clearinghouse for judging names just and coming up with better names for you.
Get
and
us
new,
a list.
New names for new teams.
Yeah, easy.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, yep. We'll review them and do a little research.
Yeah, like soccer, they get it right. FC, football club, followed by the city name. Okay, that's easy.
You know what I've noticed about conspiracy theorists lately? I don't even want to change the subject like this.
Well, they run the government, I know that much.
Yeah, indeed. There's this term...
And actually, that's not even a joke anymore. That's true.
There's this thing, like, it's a phenomenon of social media, but it's also, I hear it in some of the political discourse, especially because, like, vaccines and there's all these crazy, crazy... Like the paranoia levels are at... you know, astronomical in this country right now for a lot of good reason, but a lot of bizarre reasons. And people, when I hear on, like, call-in shows or even on Instagram, like social media and that kind of stuff, they're talking about how they researched something. And I just use the word research, and I realize it's like a code word for being in on conspiracies and stuff. Like, I've researched on the internet, and you could say it about anything. Jeffrey Epstein, you know?
That was on the internet.
Yeah. I did my research, and actually, did you know, fill in the blank. And it just, it's this constant thing where people qualify bat guano stuff with that it's research. They just say it's research, and somehow that gives some validity to the asinine things coming out of their mouths.
Well, you know, in a way, I kind of feel somewhat responsible, because I was going around in the good part of the 90s and early part of this century saying, you know, along with Jello Biafra, become the media. Everyone's a journalist. Everyone can be a part of this. Everyone can be part of an indie media center and put something on the internet. And what I wasn't counting on was that everybody would, and that a lot of idiots and fools would be doing this kind of thing without checking any facts whatsoever. What I meant was that we all have the potential, but journalism is not something you just attach to your name and say, this is what I am. You study it. You get good at it. You do research. It's not easy. You don't get rich from it. But it's essential to any society, as we are learning every single day here.
And it's about work. It is a vocation for a lot of people, and it's about doing the work of research.
Absolutely.
Which is not an easy thing.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, when people are saying research, they're covering for the fact that they really mean, I saw on the internet, which itself is a cliche, linguistically. If you say, I saw on the internet something to anyone that is even remote, like that is just non-factual and crazy talk, or just stupid, saying that does not make you sound any smarter. So people have realized that, and they sort of masquerade it or give it this veneer.
I saw it on Fox News.
Called research.
I saw it on Fox News. There's a guy who saw it on the internet there.
Uh-huh. And he's really good at research, right?
Uh-huh. Yeah, yeah. Someone's got to scan the websites.
Anyway, I'm sorry for that aside. I just, I triggered myself by using language that bothers me with the way it's being used currently. Everybody seems to be an expert now, and it is not true. And we run into this stuff with, like, English. People think, like, oh, well, you know, someone wrote it, therefore it's fine. I know we deal with this all the time in publication. Just writing something and being done with it does not mean that it's ready to be consumed and interpreted by other readers. You know, not everyone's writing is portable. And the same goes for news. Just because someone you trust said something, like a neighbor or a relative, does not really make them an expert. And,
yeah.
And if they say that they researched it, you might want to check into actually what that research is. Is it just people that agree with that perspective? Is it some crazy death cult conspiracy theory?
Well, maybe the story is that
I got nothing but questions.
They said this in the first place. They had this crazy statement or experience where they, you know, saw a spaceship take their neighbor away or something like that. I don't know. Maybe that's the story. But just because somebody said something happened doesn't make that the fact.
Yeah. Yeah, there are a lot of wannabe experts out there. And at the same time, they're discrediting actual experts.
Well, yeah, and that's the problem with a lot of the cable news networks, is that they give equal time to opposite opinions, even when the opposite opinions don't have the same kind of research and legitimacy that the original opinion has in the first place. So you're somebody who saying that, yeah, we have to wear masks to stay safe and to keep this virus from killing us all. And then you have somebody who just doesn't want to wear a mask. There's absolutely no actual scientific evidence to back up his statement other than the fact that he doesn't want to wear a mask. And you put him on next to Sanjay Gupta and they have a debate. It's not the same thing. One person knows what they're talking about. One person does not. It doesn't matter what side they're on. You have to get people that have done the research and that have facts that support them. And I hate to say, you know, the tired saying has become tired now, that you can have your own opinion, but you can't have your own facts. We're handing out facts like ice cream. You mentioned ice cream before, and now I'm thinking about it.
Alleged facts.
Yeah.
Non-facts.
So masks, yeah, that's the thing.
It's putting people out of business. It's really hurting because it has fall-on effects, right? I mean, it is behavior that is affecting public health that then is affecting cascading effects. It's having cascading effects and actively cascading and affecting. I can't say any more of these words with more emphasis. It's just mind-boggling how chaotic it's become.
It's funny because we had a connectivity outage earlier, and I found myself on the phone with customer support. And it was some guy who was way far away. He was over in Asia. I don't know what country, but he had a thick Chinese accent. And I couldn't understand barely more than one in three words that he was saying. And then at some point in the conversation, he said, "Oh, let me just take this mask off." And his voice got clearer. It was really kind of a funny thing. But then I still couldn't understand what he was saying. But I couldn't understand him clearer.
The fidelity improved.
Yeah, the fidelity improved. But I was happy. That kind of endeared me to him that he was actually wearing a mask in a call center, which I think is probably a wise thing to do. There's probably a lot of people there.
Talking.
But we don't see the same kind of intelligence being applied locally.
It's incredibly haphazard. It seems to be fluctuating from day to day, hour to hour, street to street.
I don't know what the issue is. I don't know what's so hard. It's very, very simple. If you're walking down the street and you're able to keep 6 feet away from everybody else except the people that you are with, that you presumably live with, fine. But I don't see that on the sidewalks of, say, Port Jefferson, where people are passing each other. Don't you understand? When you pass each other, you're less than 6 feet away. And somebody simply exhaling, that's enough right there. That is enough for them to transmit the virus to you. They won't even know they're doing it. They won't even know they have it. But that is how it's happening. That's why it's happening down in the southern states, because people aren't observing this. They haven't been observing this. Now they're paying the price. We in New York, we've gotten to this stage because so many of us took the steps we needed to take. It's not difficult to understand. It's hard to do. It's a sacrifice. But it does have results. Thank God for that. I mean, imagine if this was the kind of plague that really wiped you out, like had a 90% fatality rate, or that was super airborne, where it stayed in the air for a week after somebody passed by. It could be so much worse. And if we're having this much trouble with something on this level, boy, the human race is not going to be around long, because something worse will happen. It will come along. I don't get it. I don't see what's so hard. Putting on a mask, you get used to it. It's like putting on a hat. And all this pushback about wearing a mask, it's like, you know, we had the same argument about putting on pants. Eventually we won that one, and people had to wear pants. All right, now this is what we need to do for now.
And it's just wrong time, it's exact wrong time for it to become politicized.
Yes. You mentioned places going out of business. There's a place in Port Jefferson, in fact, one of our favorite hangouts, and we can say that now because they're gone, Say Cheese. And you know, it wasn't until I said that out loud for the first time that because it's spelled French, you know, C'est, cheese, you know, it's cheese. And then I said it once, I was like, oh, they're saying Say Cheese, like for the camera. It took me over a year to figure that out. But
I just realized it when you said it now.
Wow, okay, I feel intelligent.
We must have had this conversation before.
We tend to have the same conversations. In fact, this show aired 2 years ago. So
I'm not gonna
basically,
dispute that.
Basically, don't you notice I look younger?
Yes.
All right, this was a cheese shop. The cheese shop sketch, I love this. You know, I tried to explain that to the people in the cheese shop once, and they had never heard of it. How do you work in a cheese shop and never hear the Monty Python cheese shop sketch? Not much call for cheddar around here. All right, you know, it's well past its prime. So they closed down. They closed down this weekend.
What, they want to switch industries, you know, do something else? Just kind of didn't feel like they wanted to do it anymore, right? They lost their love for the cheese. That's probably it, huh?
Well, the owner of the place, his name is Joe Ciardello. I think he was doing a good job, you know, keeping up with all the changes that were brought about by COVID-19. He said since March, seems like you have to reinvent yourself every 2 weeks. You're a full-service restaurant, and then boom, now you're takeout and delivery, now you're outdoor dining, now you're 50% capacity indoors. But you know what? They were doing it. They were trying to keep up. They were trying to do the best they could. You know what they couldn't get past? They couldn't get past the customers who refused to wear masks. We'd ask people to wear a mask, and they'd get mad, turn around and leave, or they'd stay, be rude to the staff, and wouldn't tip. And then there was the health of his family. He felt he was putting his kids' health at risk. And that is why we don't have a cheese shop in Fort Jefferson now. Not because of the virus. The virus was a challenge. It was us. The idiocy of us. And refusing to cooperate and to do what's right for everybody else. How many more places are going to be lost because of our stupidity? This really gets me mad because it was a fun place to go, and now it's gone.
There's musicians there every week. There used to be
not anymore, there
live music all the time. So think about the suppliers, all the different companies that it was required, the breweries, the food supply, everything. Everything involved, including artists that would perform there just to get a little bit of cash, you know, gig money. And because people didn't want to cooperate, because they felt they're being asked to just do a little
more. To do what? To wear a damn mask on your face, especially if you go inside an establishment. You can't do that. I mean, think of what your actions do to people by you spreading the disease. You might not even know you have it. You might not even feel a symptom, but you're still spreading it. But in addition to that, look what you're doing to people's livelihoods. Look what you're doing to the businesses that we depend upon and that depend upon us. The harm you are causing. And it goes straight up to the top. It goes straight up to Trump and his
non-leadership.
Or just leadership and stupidity. Basically telling people that it's okay not to wear a mask or that you look weak if you wear a mask. He finally wore a mask. He finally wore a damn mask.
Yeah, visiting wounded soldiers at a hospital that would not let him do it without it.
Yeah, can you imagine? I mean, I think even Trump thought that might not be something recoverable if he went into a place with wounded veterans.
Well, he still thinks veterans are going to vote for him.
So, yeah, there's a lot of blame to pass around, but the important thing is to just do something considerate for the people around you. That's all. It's got nothing to do with politics. Despite what people might be telling you, it's got nothing to do with that. It's just keeping healthy, keeping other people healthy. See how mature you can be. The rest of the world, people are doing that. There are some exceptions, I know. And in all those places where there are exceptions, you're seeing what happens. And right now, what's happening down in Florida, in Georgia, and Texas, and California, it's tragic. It's tragic, and they are about to enter a world of hell. Right now, they have a lot of cases. They're going to have a lot of deaths, a lot more. And that's very likely to come right back here, because there's only so much you can do to prevent it. You know, we have a quarantine now. If you come to this state, you're supposed to fill out a form. If you don't fill out the form, you get a $2,000 fine. Sounds great. But there are so many ways around that, and so many people will try to get around that. And that virus is going to land right back in our backyards again, despite all of our efforts. Because you can do everything right, but if the people around you aren't doing everything right, and they don't respect that, it's all for naught. And we haven't even begun with the second wave yet. And if we look at 1918 as an example, it's that second wave that really did the damage. Not just old people, to young people as well.
We don't even have to see the historical examples to know we're doing things backwards. All the other countries that are not dealing with the skyrocketing cases, because they did a little bit different tactically and strategically and in their planning and making moves, they're not facing nearly as many cases, and they know it's going to come back. Here, we've seen an easing of it, but it's clear it's going to come back for the exact reason. People from Florida, everybody and their stupid parents that live in Florida, they want to come visit, or vice versa, or you have multiple houses or whatever.
Don't your parents live in Florida?
I don't want to talk about it.
Aren't they listening?
Forget it. But the point is, it's like, it's insane to act as though we're not vulnerable.
The phone's ringing.
I don't even want to talk about family. It's so backwards right now. I feel like...
But you're not the only one. Everyone's going through this.
Yeah, yeah. I still think that supporting this is unforgivable. My life's work will be forgiving my family members for being as stupid as they are being. I mean from the absolute depths of my heart.
You might want to write that into your will so that your descendants can also continue the forgiving process.
I don't think it's possible, but I absolutely stand by the fact that I think this is fully and totally unforgivable. I have no idea what I ever did for them to want to pass on a world like this and for them to constantly feel as though they know better and act as though my positions and where I come from somehow are not as equal as their positions and where they come from. I'm really tired of the kid gloves and babying people's political beliefs when the ilk and the stuff they're co-signing on is so destructive. I'm sorry.
Well, you just described parenthood and the struggle that's been going on between parents and kids for as long as there have been parents and kids. And yeah, we see it. We see it clearly. How can you support this? How can you possibly agree with this? And I don't know. I don't have an answer. I just know that this is certainly not the first time something like this has happened, and it won't be the last time. And I also know that it goes both ways, and that sometimes I'm blind to something that I'll see as obvious later on. But right now, I really don't think I'm blind to the scientific facts and what is consistently going wrong and that all the evil that is out there. I see so many evil people in control now. It's so frightening.
No, I was talking about taxes.
Oh, taxes, yeah.
No, I'm kidding.
You know,
it's just insane. I'm just so completely, like just spitting mad about
well,
it anymore.
Again, being angry is good to a degree, but you can't let it run your life. And just know that you're not alone, that a lot of people are experiencing the same frustration. We have to turn that into action. We have to make something positive out of it and make change out of it. We saw what happened over the last few weeks. We saw the change that came about quickly because people got really, really angry.
No,
we should never forget that. We should never forget what happened.
But that's being used against, like, I was talking to family saying, like, they think that there's guns and lawlessness all over New York. There's shootings.
There are shootings.
What's that about?
Okay, let me explain.
Why is that being used?
Let me explain what's going on right now, okay? There is a massive uprising against police violence. And police are offended that people are criticizing them. And you see that everywhere. You see this, this feigned indignation of how dare you criticize us when we're out there trying to save your lives.
So they're not doing the job.
Occasionally killing black people. And, yeah, this is what's happening. They disbanded the unclothed.
Plainclothes D-bags. Yeah.
What in God's name am I thinking? The plainclothes unit.
God, I hate those guys.
They stopped us once outside Tompkins Square Park.
Yeah.
We were doing this show, a radio interview, and they thought we were exchanging drugs. You know, and had we been black, that would not have ended as well as it did.
They'd always, like, go into the Bean, and they'd have their guns and just be, like, getting coffee.
The Bean is a coffee place. Yeah. It was a coffee place. Anyway, point is, they disbanded that. They did that. They just said, okay, you know what? We're not going to have this group, which, you know, admittedly was responsible for many, many shootings of people. But also, they did their job. They did fight crime in some degree. They got guns off the street. So what NYPD is doing is saying, okay, you don't want us? We're not going to do that. And they're sitting back and watching the result. So, yeah, we're talking about the evil. We're talking about the misconduct that they habitually engage in. That is the criticism. Not the existence. I know some people say, yeah, there shouldn't be any cops. I think they're idiots. But the existence is needed, but run fairly and having plenty of oversight. That is what is important. They don't want to be criticized. They don't want anybody to be telling them what to do or how to do their job.
And so people aren't backing down.
They would rather say, okay, screw all of you. We're just going to watch the city burn.
Yeah.
And they have almost literally said that. That Lynch guy, the head of the police union, that guy is...
He is a
loose cannon, that guy.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. He basically is saying, yeah, so we're just not going to do our job. And I don't know how they get away with this.
But
that is what you were seeing. Do not say that New York City is full of guns. New York City is full of cops not doing their job now and letting crime go rampant. And they're loving it.
Yeah. Yeah. And the framing, the way he barks at the cameras about it, is that the Democrats are forcing us to not do our jobs.
He does sound like that, too. Kyle's not actually imitating.
No, I just...
We don't need the words alone. You don't need to make somebody who is saying stupid things sound even stupider.
That's true. I'm
and
sorry.
There are smart people who sound like that,
I'm
too.
I'm sorry to people who
so,
sound like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, people sound like that who are professors and doctors. And but I'm not even kidding. Anyway, a little bit of good news. You heard about this horrible policy that Trump put into place, where basically if you're a student, a foreign student, and your college has gone online, well, you're not attending classes, so you could do that from a foreign country, so get out of here. One of the cruelest policies ever, and it evoked a lot of reaction, a lot of pushback. And today, the Trump administration rescinded the policy. So even they are sensitive to a degree. When so many people criticize them, things do get changed. When so many people criticize a racist flag, hey, the Mississippi flag finally gets changed. When so many people get upset at a sports team's racist name, no more Washington Redskins. You see, it happens.
Or companies,
but you have to be loud. You have to be out there.
Or companies supporting the NRA.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, you got to identify them.
FedEx.
Can't be vague. Well, didn't FedEx get the Redskins name?
That's my point.
Oh, boy.
Companies.
See, you're confusing the issues now. You're making good guys seem bad and vice versa.
I'm pointing out that it can be a journey, and not everyone is going to be on the right side of everything.
This is one of the things that constantly gets me, is that we have to be consistent. We have to basically take a side and stick to that side. So that when de Blasio is out there painting Black Lives Matter outside the Trump building, that's not the time to list all the things that de Blasio has done wrong. That's the time to stand behind him and say, yeah, this is for you, Trump. And then as soon as that's over, then you criticize de Blasio. But when you do it then, you know, you're basically you're losing all the steam. You're deflecting what could be a really important moment. I don't know. People on the left don't seem to be able to get that. And sometimes you got to stand behind somebody you don't agree with. And then after you win, maybe that's it. Maybe it's the winning part they're unfamiliar with. When you win, because you will win if you stand behind somebody occasionally, then you can attack them and make them see your way and hopefully either make them better or get somebody better to replace them.
It's the people are too often willing to disintegrate, and that is not how you win. You must be a cohesive voice and something that can put aside differences for an aim or a good. And there are so many big issues that people could get around right now, mm-hmm, and overlook, or at least put certain differences to the side in the service of those ends. But yeah, again, there's it's a journey, and sometimes people really screw up in moments where we have the powers that be listening.
Well, we have to continue the conversation, and we will continue the conversation, but we have to break for an important announcement. We are still in Radiothon. This is the last week of Radiothon. Radiothon is the fundraiser that keeps WUSB on the air, WUSB being the radio station that we are on right now, broadcasting on 90.1 FM and 107.3 FM, and over the internet at WUSB.FM. You can keep this radio station alive. We just celebrated our, what anniversary was that again? 43rd anniversary. It's, wow, that's quite a number. And we hope to be around for 43 more years at least, and influencing all kinds of people and getting all kinds of people to influence us. So much good programming is on this particular radio station, and it's a very rare treasure on the FM dial. You don't see very many stations that are independent, that allow all kinds of different thought, different music, different viewpoints of all sorts, and sports. Everything. It's all bundled together 24 hours a day. And you can be a part of that by either pledging on WUSB.FM or calling 631-632-6901, where operators are standing by right now, pledging whatever you can afford, whether it's on a monthly basis or a lump sum, getting all kinds of cool things like coffee mugs and T-shirts and CDs and just a huge, huge list. Here's the announcement, though.
Hi, this is Rob, Dokus, Abby, Chris, Anastasia, and we are WUSB's Student Executive Board.
We hope our listening family and all our Stony Brook University classmates and families are managing well in this precarious time.
We are all home, but helping WUSB stay on the air remotely so we can keep you entertained and informed each day.
For only $5 per month or $60 per year, you can join WSB's family of radio supporters, enjoy special members' benefits, and get a cool radio thank you gift.
Please help us stay on the air by calling 631-632-6901 or toll-free at 1-888-632-9872 or online at wusb.fm/pledge.
WUSB, the most dangerous station in the nation.
Again, those numbers are 631-632-6901, toll-free at 1-888-632-WUSB, or online at www.wusb.fm/pledge. Thank you.
And if we don't get a pledge in the next 5 minutes, we're going to kill the groundhog that we captured during that announcement.
Yeah, I'm
going to
run it over to the lawnmower.
We don't have a lawnmower.
Yeah, we do.
We do?
Yeah.
Why don't we use it?
I don't know. It's just
okay.
There.
Well, that's good to know. I all kinds of things I could think of.
Mm-hmm.
No, we don't actually have the groundhog in captivity yet.
But shovels fall all the time in the garden.
No, you know what? I don't believe in harming.
Accidents happen.
He's doing what he is intended to do, which is being a bastard.
Stupid.
So, okay. But you have to outsmart nature. You have to work within the confines of nature. And maybe he could play by those rules once. That would be kind of nice. Jerk. Anyway. No, we won't kill any animals. But we will appreciate your phone call, 631-632-6901, because it's a vote of confidence in the radio station, maybe in us, in just free speech and communication and debate and all those really nifty things.
Yeah, we have our question of the week. If you'd like to write us at otw@2600.com.
What's our question of the week?
It's Jill versus Melania. Discuss.
Jill Biden versus Melania Trump?
Yeah.
Okay, well, one is intelligent and one is a dictator's wife.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, she could be intelligent too, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Need I say more?
Well, Jill's, she's a doctor.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. That counts for something.
And the other one's a trophy?
I don't know. I know nothing about her. I don't really care.
Okay.
Yeah. She's not a nice person, though. People keep saying that, oh, yeah, you know, she's a victim of this. No, she's not a victim. She's one
complicit.
Of the evil people. Very complicit.
SNL said it early on.
SNL?
Oh, yeah. They did, like, a...
They get the credit?
They did a perfume commercial that, like, used the word complicit. Like, obsession.
Okay.
But, yeah.
Yeah.
Complicit by Melania.
Let's not be easy on these people. Seriously, they are doing great harm.
They're terrible people. They're turning our families
into
terrible
people. They are killing people, literally killing people, by not taking this pandemic seriously, by encouraging people not to wear masks. And look around you. It's not us saying this. These are the facts. People are dying. They don't have to. All those people now, what is it, 135,000 people who have died? Just about all of them would still be alive today if we had a nationwide policy of wearing masks, of dealing with this. And, you know, when I saw Trump wearing a mask, he didn't look weak. Actually, he looked like somebody sent me a video with the Stormtrooper theme from Star Wars. You know? Dun, 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 you know, that thing.
Everyone around, his entire entourage...
Because he looked evil and powerful.
Yeah, but I agree with you. It did not... I think that a lot of that, like... 99.9% of that is ego and
of course.
How do I say self-conscious? Any, you know, it did not read that way. His entire entourage was wearing masks. He was in a hospital, and it was a nice looking mask. Nice blue, had embroidery. I don't know. I don't get it. And dude's gonna lose.
Had let's hope so. Had this been happening though. From the beginning, it would be markedly different. Look what's happened in New York. Just by taking action, we've been able to drive this down. All of us have been able to do that. But, like we said, it's not going to last because we don't have a wall surrounding our state. Today, there is a very sobering press conference in Suffolk County. 10 Suffolk County lifeguards have tested positive for COVID-19, and all comes from a 4th of July weekend party. Lifeguards worked at Smith's Point and Cupsog County beaches. Backyard party took place in Holtsville. And things like this are going to keep happening if people don't do what's right. They don't do the smart thing. You're going to see places going out of business. You're going to see people coming down with this. You're going to see people dying.
And realize that it's really in our hands. It's on us. I mean, we said this last week or the week before, that who's going to police it? It's us. It's not about, like, calling a number. We'll give the number out. If you see businesses that are looking really reckless right now, you can do that. But it's not even about that. I think Cuomo said it best. It's like, hey, buddy, where's your mask? I mean, that is the kind of thing that we need to not get complacent on and maybe remind one another in a friendly way. Because if not, yeah, we're going to get more of what we experienced. And if you've been around New York for that, it's not something we want to go back through.
New Yorkers are intelligent, too. 62% of New Yorkers surveyed said the worst of the pandemic is yet to come, while only 27% said the worst is over. Large majority, 82%, believe it's either very likely or somewhat likely the state is going to face another large outbreak. And the vast majority of people would prefer that we do what's right health-wise rather than think of the economy first. So remember, smart people are in the majority. They really are. We criticize a lot. We say a lot of negative things to wake people up. But the smart people are the majority. We have to just stop paying attention to the ignorant people and stop letting them have their way, because that is how we lose.
And we can find other ways with, you know, economies on the hiatus. We take care of one another. We take care of it. We check in locally. We persevere.
Absolutely. All right. We are fed up. We've had enough. And we're going to go out with a song with that title. And we're going to do it in 70s radio style, where we basically talk up to where the vocals come in. Because that's how you do it in radio.
It's the only way to do it.
Hey, have a good night. We'll see you on the flip side.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.